Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, I may be on the West Coast this month, but I'm keeping my eye on all things theater, starting with the news that The Phantom of the Opera is going to continue on Broadway a while longer. Already the longest-running show in Broadway history, it was announced in September that Phantom would close in February, shortly after celebrating its 35th anniversary. And then ticket sales spiked. And when Thanksgiving travelers started the holiday season, well, Phantom enjoyed its highest grossing week ever, $2.2 million. So now it looks like an eight-week extension of the run to April 16th. The moral of that story, well, of course, is that shows often announce closures in hopes of a run on tickets. Well, it didn't happen with Walking with Ghosts or Kite Runner or Strange Loop, and the next one I'm keeping an eye on is Beetlejuice. Now, as for what else is up and new, you know I've often discussed solo shows. Well, a few more have arrived. First, A Christmas Carol. Yes, all those famous characters, I believe more than 50, are being played by one man, Jefferson Mays. Now, I saw him do this in Los Angeles, and, well, he's amazing. Now, that one plays through the holidays on Broadway. Off-Broadway, Sandra has opened at the Vineyard and already been extended a bit. This thriller is about a woman seeking someone who has gone missing. It's written by David Cale, a master of the monologue genre. I think he's written 14. The new musical, Ain't No More, has opened on Broadway. This one, in fact, started in Washington. It's a series of sketches, primarily, with music, race, and gender issues at its core. You have to wonder if that attracts the holiday visitors. The same goes for the just-opened K-pop. Both those shows have received mediocre reviews and could be facing early peril. Meanwhile, following award-winning engagements at the 2022 Edinburgh, Hollywood, and Adelaide Fringe Festivals, Afghanistan is Not Funny. That's the name of the show. Afghanistan is Not Funny, written and performed by one Henry Naylor, is off-Broadway at the Soho Playhouse. Afghanistan is Not Funny is directed by Darren Lee Cole and Martha Lott and will play only eight performances, at least so far, and it's already down to the last few, the 7th, the 9th, and the 11th this week. So this is your week to get to the Soho Playhouse, which always offers interesting stuff. Now, it seems the hottest new production in New York, in previews or not, are The Collaboration, starring Paul Bettany as Andy Warhol and Jeremy Pope as Jean-Michel Basquiat. They enjoyed, or not, an unlikely partnership in the art world. That is at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater. And then there is A Beautiful Noise, the jukebox show about Neil Diamond. Lines are already long, even though it's still in previews. Same with Some Like It Hot, right next door. That one officially opens this week. I'm not allowed to officially review until next week, but I would say get those tickets now. Also, an unexpected but holiday-appropriate reading will be done December 12th at the Sheen Center on Bleecker Street. The familiar title, It's a Wonderful Life, and it will benefit the Donna Reed Foundation. Now, you'll recall she was in that classic film. I worked alongside Donna Reed one anti-war summer. She was the founder of a group called Another Mother for Peace, which created that classic poster reading, War is Not Healthy for Children and Other Living Things. I can tell you Donna Reed was a class act. Finally, you'll recall last we spoke, I also bragged about interviewing another early idol, Mary Badham, who played Scout in the film To Kill a Mockingbird. Well, then I saw the play here, its very last Los Angeles performance before moving on. The production is now in San Diego. I hung with my new friend, Mary, after the show. What a treat that was. By the way, the national production is terrific. Richard Thomas is Atticus Finch, and I think I was more moved this time than when I saw it on Broadway. Who knows why? I also got comes a family, usually staying at a hotel or residence near the theater. Always a week or two rehearsing tech inside a new venue. Then they do the show, then they pack up and move on again. This mockingbird will be flying through July. One member of the troupe, Glenn Fleury, is the understudy for Tom Robinson. Now, he's played Tom 24 times already on the tour. I asked him to give me the ups and downs of a national tour. These were his answers. The highs, visiting various cities, performing for thousands of people a night, living the dream, getting to work on a piece of text and develop a character over time, making new friends, experiencing different reactions in different cities. What were the lows, or what are the lows? Missing family and social events, travel exhaustion, getting ill, being away from your doctor. Anyway, all interesting, but I have to tell you, Jill, these talented tourists are my new heroes.
All right, so let's get back to Phantom for a sec, all right? Because don't you think it's a slightly different duck in terms of closing? You know, if the tourists, if tourists had not, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same as
a brand new show that opens and closes earlier.
And then extends. I mean, let's say back in the day, shows opened, closed, and then, you know, posted and then extended into, you know, last weeks. And
I don't know. There have been a lot of this. You know, you've got Phantom, you've got Chicago, you had Evan Hansen come from away. These were long, long running shows. The Book of Mormon is doing very, very well, and that's also traveling around the country. A lot of these shows, of course, also have national tours.
Well, and let's not forget that not everyone was as COVID centric or whatever as New York stayed for as long as it stayed.
That's right.
You know, so the group of people that, you know, that might even still be concerned. I should ask you: do you still have people who are concerned about going to shows, or is that pretty much over?
Yeah, I do. It was interesting going here in L.A. to Mockingbird, which is at a very big theater, the Pantages. It's called Broadway on Hollywood. That's the biggest theater out here. Huge, huge theater. I saw very few masks. And yet, L.A., they're talking about possibly bringing back a mask mandate. Numbers are going up again. But it is an unusual time. I have to think in terms of Broadway shows. I would say there are more long-running shows now than ever, if I had to guess. You got The Music Man. Now, that's scheduled to close in January. And I don't think they want to extend that. That's because Hugh Jackman, you know, they're just too busy with other stuff. They're not whispering, hey, we're going to close, but buy tickets now and we won't close. You know, there's a feel about that. But this could be a record of long-running shows. Moulin Rouge is still going, doesn't seem to be in trouble. You know, the ones that are in peril, like I said, are the new ones opening. Beetlejuice is an old one also. That's come and gone a few times. I would keep an eye on K-pop, one that just opened, and Eight No More. And even Almost Famous, which just opened. I think it's probably doing pretty well over the holidays, but I wouldn't bet on a long run for Almost Famous. So it's an odd
and
time right now.
Neither K-pop nor Almost Famous got good reviews.
They did not.
I don't know if that matters. And what the other one, Kimberly Akimbo, that got a very good review. Do you know how that's doing?
That's doing well. Kimberly Akimbo is doing well. And somebody mentioned to me that an interesting thing is Kimberly Akimbo came from Off-Broadway, where it had some problems, but they worked on it, and it got better when it opened big. K-pop, on the other hand, people say worked better in a small house for whatever reason. You know, so those are big decisions to make. Is it too small a show to go big? Is it too big a show to go small? I mean, you know, these are questions that, and, you know, January, as we've talked about before, January is going to be the big month. You're still getting holiday travelers now. And, you know, holiday travelers, I say this all the time, they don't know from previews. They don't care if it's in previews. When I told somebody, oh, well, that's in previews, they say, what? They don't even know, you know, who cares? They're coming for 2 weeks in New York. They want to see Almost Famous, or they want to see some Like It Hot. They don't care if It's not officially open. So that's the story. So lots of fluidity. And I think over the holiday, we'll know a lot more in January. Let's see how Christmas goes.
Absolutely. And the point about tourists is, you know, somebody wants to go. If you've booked your trip and you're going to a show, you're going to a show.
Absolutely. They're going to see Funny Girl. They don't care. They're going to see, you know, of course. They buy these tickets way in advance. But and when I say, you know, they don't care if it's in a preview. Most people don't even know what that means, to be honest. You know,
and another thing that goes like that is the same for years, again. Some things don't work better big.
That's right.
And this is, it's ever been thus, is what I'm trying to say. You know, sitting in my little lair, I have often wondered how people chose to take something that's working really well.
Yeah.
And try and supersize it.
That's the biggest question. Strange Loop is a perfect example. You know, that did really well, small. And it won awards small, and therefore people think, why not go big? It's worked a lot of times. It worked with what was the one that won a few years ago, you know, about the Israeli group that started small and has had a big national run. You just don't know why. Those are big decisions the producer and the investors make. To Kill a Mockingbird, you know, okay, that's a big name. It had a big Broadway run. But, you know, I don't know. That's a very, very big decision. But like I said, Strange Loop. And then it won the Tony Award. They had every reason to think. And who knows? Maybe we'll read next week that, oh, ticket spike for Strange Loop, enough to go another month. But I would not bet big on that. You know, it depends also what do people want to see over Christmas. You know, what do they want to see? They probably want to see a Funny Girl more than they want to see a Strange Loop. They want to see Some Like It Hot or Neil Diamond more than they want to see, I don't know, Kimberly Akimbo. I don't know.
No, that will be interesting. Also, isn't Danson, I think Danson's coming back.
Danson's coming back in the spring, yes. I think I talked about that last week, the Bob Fosse show. And that was not a big hit the first time they did it, if you go back and look at those numbers. If you loved Bob Fosse numbers as I did, but... Why now? I don't know. Maybe because Fosse Verdon was a television series.
Or how about introducing a whole new group to it?
Well, that too. Yeah. Who may not know Bob Fosse, of course.
From Adam.
Yeah.
So that would be my guess.
Yeah, that's certainly the hope with any bringing back any old show is that, well, there are new young audiences out there. That's the whole idea behind K-pop.
Still, K-pop it's still. Oh, I'm sorry. If I were in that room and somebody said, well, let's bring back dancing, and somebody else said, well, let's bring K-pop, I would have a comment or three.
I bet you would. Anyway, we shall see. It's December is, it's holiday time. It's just starting. So this is a lot. We're going to see a lot of tickets spiking. And the question then becomes in January. Okay, was that the real thing, or was that just a holiday, you know, bump, and we're not going to do it. We're not going to make it. These are big decisions. A lot of money involved.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.